Debrief FM, coming to you with all the hits of the summer, driving you home or driving you to work.
It's Tuesday morning.
And we're here in your ears.
What a great accent from you, Tessa. And me.
Thank you. And now, please welcome your hosts. It's Stevie Modern and Tessa Cole.
Hi, 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 everyone. And Tom.
Hey.
That's Tom. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
This week's podcast is on how to dump toxic people from your life.
It's a very, very cleansing one.
Cleansing one, because I think last week we went a bit hysterical because it was about moving with your boyfriend and I couldn't deal with it. This week, I can deal with it. Gotta get those toxic people out of your life.
Absolutely, mate.
Get them out like a...
Japanese knotweed.
I'm obsessed with Japanese knotweed. Yeah, I became obsessed with it as a very young child because we had a house and we had a garden. And I remember when I was very little being like, why is our garden just so overgrown and essentially crap? And my mum being like, it's completely ravaged by Japanese knotweed. And she told me, you know, it's from Japan and you can't kill it. You cannot kill this stuff. And I forgot about it for ages. And then last year was on a train and I could see out the window all this Japanese knotweed. And I Googled it. It's such a huge problem that if you have it in your house, people like can't sell their houses and are complete, their lives are ruined by Japanese knotweed.
Yeah.
You have to burn the entire thing and you can't because it goes for miles underground.
Yeah. It's like...
But you didn't think you'd be talking about this?
No, I didn't. But I absolutely love Japanese knotweed because my grandma's got it. And
you like it in terms of you're a fan?
Oh, no, I'm a fan of it.
It's so bad.
Well,
it kills everything.
I'm not a fan of the plant. I'm a fan of the...
That's why I was asking. I was like,
we should get in the garden a Japanese
that's
knotweed.
That's what I thought. You're like, well, grandma's great. I was like, do you like it? And you said, yes.
No, I meant like, I'm fascinated by it.
Right, same. We're on the same page.
Oh, good.
Stop shouting at each other.
So I'm agreeing about Japanese knotweed.
Sorry.
That it's amazing because being told that it can't die,
yeah,
you're like, I beg your pardon.
So you pull it out, it doesn't know because when you pull it out, it's miles and miles and miles and you have to get like all of the...
It's basically like the coral reef or the thing in Stranger Things.
Yes, or more things in real life.
Yeah.
A friend of mine used to be a maritime lawyer, a lawyer of the sea and the water.
Yeah.
Just in case anyone listening is like, what are you talking about? And one of his dogs is in London's own Thames. There is, so basically when the ships go from London to China or it's Asian countries that this kind of happens in, they will take in a lot of water to compensate for all the loads of freight going out of the boat, to rebalance the boat. When they take in all that water, they then release the water the other side, which is in London. So they basically release all this Asian Chinese water into London, which has meant there are these massive, huge, giant crabs. But they've just basically gone immediately to the top of the ecosystem, sort of like Japanese knotweed, because there's nothing around it to compete with it. And so now the Thames is full of these giant crabs
and my
friend is working on the case. No one knows who to sue or what to do about it and how they can solve it. And everyone's trying to sue each other because...
What are the crabs eating?
Everything.
Wow.
All of the wildlife.
I'll just tell you one tiny thing. That is in Birdland in New Zealand. And because New Zealand has literally no predators,
yes,
it doesn't know any predators. So there are birds in there that have never known a threat.
They're so chilled out.
They're so chilled out. And when you go in, your bags are being searched and you make a pithy joke like, we're searching for bombs. And then... is this from New Zealand?
A bit.
They say, oh, no, mate, we're checking for rats. And someone is literally checking your bag for rats in case you're bringing a rat in because it will disrupt, if you bring any predator into this space, like it'll just immediately destroy the entire ecosystem. Insane, hey?
Don't get me started on Asian hornets, but we'll see on another day.
Oh, yes!
I know, right? Oh, baby!
What we're saying is your friends are... These
Asian
Japanese
hornets,
crabs in
Japanese
the Thames.
Not wang. Japanese crabs, Japanese not wang.
Don't let them in.
Yes, you have a delicate ecosystem.
It's so delicate.
And you should always be the top of your own ecosystem. Always. Don't let anyone be above that. Be above that, be above you. Before we plow
and if your instinct there was to go, oh no, oh no, boy.
Oh, I'm not. They can.
Oh,
no. You're probably being shat on.
Yeah, you're a prime target.
I know
target.
Too many people who are so lovely and you can just see... people being toxic at them.
Because we don't get taught to take yourself seriously.
No, you learn about Oxbow Lakes, you don't learn about your own lake.
it's good stuff
Thank
here.
You.
You don't,
a song.
It's not, it's not an accepted motif to be like, oh, I'm the best.
And it's not even saying that you're the best. You're literally saying you
sorry,
should
you're absolutely right.
That's, maybe Tess is what Tess is telling herself.
I'm the best, right?
Whereas, for example, I'd more likely tell myself things like, I'm the gatekeeper of my own friendship own brain. So
like,
I'm not going to let anyone in who's going to make me feel small. Of course, I have done for years and years and years. But you start to realise that
because we're taught that like a good person is somebody who puts others before themselves does all these nice things.
Bullshit.
And looks after others and, you know.
Unless you're Jesus, in which case, good work. Gandhi, good work. But they also are very strong,
Gandhi
stubborn people.
Gandhi practiced extreme self-care.
Yes, and Jesus did too.
Yeah.
A bit. I don't know much about him. But there is one thing being a kind person. There's another thing being a doormat that you leave yourself open to be hurt or allow yourself to be hurt, I think.
Absolutely. And we're not saying that everybody is a doormat or anyone who... We're absolutely not.
You're not a doormat.
No wazer. We are saying that every single person has been victim of some kind of Japanese knotweed.
Oh my God.
Or in some
way. It's wrapped its way around your heart.
And you didn't even know it was there.
Until it was too late.
Oh God, it's good stuff. Oh. What adult thing have you done this week, Stevie? I just asked you, apropos of nothing.
It was really good. And I was so unprepared that I've forgotten mine.
Right?
Last week mine was bad. I know.
Oh.
Tess is pointing at her chin. Why is she pointing at her chin? Because I've got a hair on my chin. So that's not really an adult thing that I've done. It's more of an adult thing that's happened to me because I think I must be 40,000 years old and I had to pluck it out with some tweezers and I've told nobody apart from everyone listening. But hopefully people who are attracted to me aren't listening and I know they probably are. So I'm sorry for anyone who's ever found me attractive because I'm getting a beard. I'm growing a beard.
Is this your first one?
Yes. What? Oh, hello. So it's obviously not your first chin rodeo.
I only have one. But
friend hair.
But he's been there a while.
Okay, it's a he. Of course it's
a he. Of course it's a he.
It's a hair on my chin, it's not a woman.
No.
Right, okay.
No woman would go there. It's under his hair.
Yes.
And
what do you do with it?
Pluck it out occasionally, but it's very fine. If you've got a chin hair, welcome to the club.
Welcome to the adult club.
Nobody can see them.
Well, unless it was the one that I had, in which case.
Was it big? Where was it?
Yeah, it was here. And it was like I saw it when I was stood too far away from the mirror for me to be happy about having seen it.
Oh, right.
It was black.
Gosh.
Yeah. It was horrible.
Me being like, well, mine's a tiny fair one
small.
Under here that no one can see.
No one can see it. Mine's like,
it was like a witch, whistle.
Yeah. Mine has to stop paying rent soon.
I'm starting to get this white streak in my hair.
Tess is going grey.
It's not grey, it's white, like a powerful white witch. Okay. A lot of laughter in the room there that wasn't necessary, thank you.
It looks cool.
Yeah, it looks all right. I mean, it doesn't look cool, but I'm...
I actually haven't noticed it because Tessa's, but you're very blonde, so it just looks like more blonde. What's your adult thing?
See,
I thought yours was, I've gone white like a white witch.
No.
Right, fine. What's your other one?
You always shout at me when I don't ask you, but it's actually quite tricky.
It's actually quite tricky
when
to,
you
to
don't.
Put a pin in it.
It's quite tricky. Whereas the person who's waiting is just like,
I'm trying to do
mine. Mine is that I have gone and gone back to the gym. I felt like not having any sort of outlet for energy. I went and joined the gym and I was there last night for 2 hours.
Doing what?
I know. Stretching incredibly slowly.
Yes.
I've had this huge problem with my back. And everything and keep going to have people crack it and stuff.
Mm.
And then I was like, maybe I'll just stretch more.
Yes.
And I just did stretching for an hour and I feel amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a really adult thing.
I felt like I really had been sort of putting temporary measures in with my back and being like, only someone else can fix this. Only so you know, you massage my back. Whereas really everyone I went to was like, you have to stretch. And I was like, yeah, sure. You fix it. You do it.
Yeah, you want a quick fix rather than
exactly right. I was guilty as a quick fix and I was like, you know what I need to do? Take some time. And
long fix. That's a lovely adult one.
Thanks
but you know
much.
What's not lovely about being an adult? Toxic friendships.
Ugh.
Am I right, guys?
Boo. Hiss.
Boo. I think people use the word toxic a lot, like he is toxic, she is toxic.
Mm.
And I don't really like it because I feel like it's a very exaggerative. It exaggerates a bit and you're a bit like, all right.
Yeah,
what
quite
is toxic
strong,
or
isn't
what
it?
Is like.
It sounds like you're lime green in a Disney movie and you are.
And some people are toxic and then some people are just like not the right friend for you. Or do you know what I mean? Like, or they haven't done anything that bad. They're like, oh, he's toxic. Like, what has he done? He didn't put the bin out. And you're like, I don't think that's toxic. I think that's
I doubt
forgotten.
He would think he was toxic.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I looked up Signs of a toxic friendship.
Ooh.
Obviously. I think I've had like more toxic relationships than friendships. So you can imagine that when we're talking about friendships, you could sub in a relationship with
they
this.
They can be friendships. They can be relationships. They can be work people.
Colleagues. Toxic colleagues.
It could even be a family member.
Yes,
it
very could be true. I forgot all these people existed. They're just like, your boyfriend and your friends, there's no one else.
Yeah, it can be anybody around you in your life who is bringing a negative presence.
And so often, I think one of the big, almost huge signs of being in a toxic friendship, relationship, work relationship, anything, is that often you don't know you're in it until you read something or you see something and you're like, oh my God, that's me. I felt that. That's the red flag.
We are nothing so good. Nothing so good are we.
Yes, Yoda?
There's nothing we're so good at as tricking ourselves that something is fine when it's not fine.
We're so tricksy.
So
good at denial. Right. Be in denial no more. Here are the signs. Feel free to jump in, Tessa. You don't have to just listen to me talk for ages.
I will.
Yes. Sign one of a toxic friendship. I'll be starting all of them like that.
And I'll go underneath you to find create an atmosphere. Sorry. Sorry, God.
They always interrupt you.
Am I toxic? Am I your Japanese?
Oh
not
my
we?
God, imagine. We read this and then we realise that you're toxic
it's
for me.
Yeah.
And it's not me. It's Tom. Tom's toxic for both of us. Twist. Right. Sign one of a toxic friendship. You find yourself in a competition with her other, in quotation marks, best friends. Basically, when someone feels like you're being played off a lot against each other. For example, they are cancelling on you and you find out that they're going to someone else's birthday party. They don't see all of that stuff. And you know that, do I do that?
No.
Sorry, every time you do that, I'm like, do I do that?
No,
like,
it won't be you. Yeah, go on.
We all know, basically, we're all thinking in our head, that person. And every time anyone says a point, I'm thinking about different people that I know. And I'm like, oh yeah. So yes, that's a big sign. Sign two is, this is a big one. There's an imbalance in talk time. All for them, not for you. So they're talking a lot about their problems. You find that you're constantly having to support them. And then when you need support, either it's not really an open door for you to go and speak to them, or they do speak to you, but you don't feel like they've really given you the attention that you've given them. Mm. And, you know, that's very important. Sign three, criticism with a self-righteous attitude. So honesty is important in any relationship, but the idea of brutal truth is perhaps not something to aspire to. It's still brutal and damaging.
Oh, God.
So be sure you realise that her mean words are probably projections, and it's probably more accurate as descriptions of things that she's worried about herself than as descriptions of you. Tessa is known as the tough love giver. has often gone too far.
There are several people on Tessa Coates's screaming self-esteem program.
Scream at them.
And then I've had to cancel the program because no one's graduated.
No, everyone just cries.
And all the relationships have crumbled because I just want for them.
Yeah.
And I'm pushing, but not in a helpful way.
In a good way, that does kind of make sense, because at the end of your show, you sort of ended on a very positive note about what you've discovered about yourself. I remember watching that and being like, I mean, that's what you've been telling me for years. But if you didn't know that about yourself, that makes sense. Because when I do that with people, when I'm like, well, I'm struggling to articulate this for myself, and then you see someone else doing it, you're like, no, don't do that. And you're like, and you're doing
wow.
it.
Okay. So you think the stuff I was realizing about myself was something I was telling other people?
Yes, definitely. Because I mean, for ages, you were saying that to me, being like, just get some self-esteem, you asshole, for example. And that really helped me when we were doing comedy together early on. That could be a quote.
I'm not far off, genuinely.
But, God, I'm the worst. No, you're not at all. But I think it's a very natural thing that people do. Like, when I was in a very bad relationship, I would just yell at people who were in bad relationships, being like, get out! Why aren't I?
And you, oh that, my that God, thing. It's so hard being a human being.
It's really hard. But look, it's only one sign, and I'm sure I'll fall later.
Yeah, there's so much. Just so much to address.
There's a difference between recognizing yourself in some of these points and going, oh, I do all of these. Like, you know? And also, I think if you did all of them, you're probably not toxic because you're too self-aware to be toxic.
I probably am.
You're not toxic because I wouldn't be friends with you.
I'm the crab.
The toxic crab. You're the giant Asian crab.
I'm the crab. I think
Sorry, I love crabs. I really do. Genuinely love crabs.
I think we've only had three so far, I am nervous to continue, but I suspect that some of these people will say, oh my God, I've got a person like that. And sometimes they'll think, oh, I think that's me.
Yes, I'm on both sides of these things. I've recognised my behaviours in this. I also recognise other people's behaviours. I think it's just when we are looking out for, if you have a friend who is doing these things to an extent that you go, oh yeah, because they're red flags. And just like with any relationship, if there's like one red flag, you kind of go, okay, I'm going to save you. If there's two, you've got a bit of an issue. Mm. So I think that's also the kind of severity of it. Okay, so another sign is, are you called Tessa? Oh my God. No.
Oh God.
No, the other sign of a toxic friendship is, are you texting her far more often than she's reaching out to you? Do you feel like you're more interested in talking and getting together than she is? Relationships get toxic when the other person isn't as invested in you as you are in them. And I think I've been that. You know, when your friendship is not really there anymore and you kind of don't look forward to meeting up with them anymore and you feel really bad. So then you're just not as invested and then you don't text back. And you really, what you should do is you should just cut it off, or you should make a decision rather than just being like making them feel bad. So I'm definitely doing that.
Oh God.
Sign five of a toxic friendship. They tell you you need to change. So they see no need to recognise their own shortcomings or change them. It's all about what's wrong with you. So I have a friend who has this. Her best friend from school just treats her like crap and is constantly trying to, like, you know, my friend has problems, all humans have problems, but she's never good enough ever. Mm. And she's constantly trying to be good enough and never is. And then her friend eventually like dumped her over email being like, you're just too much of a mess. And she isn't. This friend is an absolute mess herself and but will not acknowledge that at all. And I think if you're in a relationship that is that one-sided, that you are always the problem, you're the one who needs to change, or you at least feel like that, then you're in, regardless of whether that's true or not, you're in a relationship that isn't helpful. Like if a friend is making you feel like you are significantly worse than they are, that's not what a friend is, you know? That was my piece. Just because it is a very recent thing that I had to get really like ranty and lectury and give some tough love about. Because I was like, no, you can't excuse her anymore. She's not nice to you. And you're my friend and you do all of those things. And when you tell me you've done those things, I go, oh no, let's work it out. Rather than being like, you're crap, you know? Mm. Especially if it's something, you know, that's like a problem that they have that they come to you with. You can't then go, oh yeah, you're pathetic. You're like, no, that's not a way to... So if anyone's making you feel pathetic or small, that's not what a friendship is. That's bullying. Sign six. You're walking on eggshells. So at first it was like fun to be with them. They're fun friends, but then something changed and then you find yourself having to be very over careful, watching every word to make sure you don't offend them, feeling like they will flip out any moment or they're very changeable and they have... I don't like that one. I don't know why that's toxic. Do you think it is?
I think if you... it's less that they're being toxic and more like that's a sign if that's something
it's
you...
It's a toxic friendship.
Yes, if you feel like that around that person.
Yeah.
It's not that they've done anything specific. It's just that it's obviously a sign that you
something's
have this
not
like,
right.
tension in your stomach all the time when you're with them. You're not sort of like present and having a nice time. You're thinking like you're worried about it.
Yeah, yeah. There's some anxiety there that maybe there's some you can't anxiety there. Pinpoint. Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. I'm glad you're here because I would have just thrown that into the sun.
Mm. I had to bring it back.
Any thoughts before I continue?
No, I'm absolutely barrel of nerves over here because I think I'm the crap.
You're the crap. You're not the crap.
I'm worried. We started off being so like, get them out. You're so great. You don't need them. And I was like, oh my God, it's me.
How can I get myself out?
It's me that's the problem. And so I think
work through that. Why do you think you're the problem?
Okay. Have you seen What's Her Face and Romy and Michelle's high school reunion?
I think it's Romy.
I've only ever seen it written down.
So you haven't seen the film?
Yes, I have. I guess she never uses her name
that's
famously.
That's a good point. Yeah, she doesn't. Yes, I have seen that.
Was it Romy? Romy and Michelle's high school musical
reunion.
No. This is Romy and Michelle's high school reunion. Yes. And Phoebe Buffay and her friend go back to, what's her name? Lisa Kudrow.
Yeah, Lisa
Kudrow.
Either
way, two gals go back to their high school reunion and they are like really hung up on these horrible girls that were horrible to them and they, you know, are really, you know, put a lot of effort into what they're going to wear and they're so worried about seeing these mean girls that were the bullies. Mm. And then there's also this other girl there who sort of challenges someone and was like, you were the worst person to me. And then the bully girl is like, who are you? And then you see that someone like has just hold on to this for like 10 years of like how horrible this girl was.
Yeah.
And the girl's like, I don't even know who you are. The one at the top of the food chain doesn't know the one below who even she is, even though that one has been looking up, thinking about this.
Interesting.
And then someone comes up behind her and is like, tells her off about how, and then that girl is like, who are you?
Right.
And then it happens a third time.
Oh,
so there's this whole chain of people who have been thinking about this person whose like full name they know, whose life they followed, who like did all this stuff to them, who, you know, was always awful to them. And they actually did exactly the same to another person.
Yeah.
So what I think what I'm trying to say is that, you know, you have these list of names, like Arya Stark, you've got your list of names, but really somebody, you were on someone else's list as well. And
yeah.
You didn't even realize.
We're on each other's lists.
You're on someone else's list.
I mean, everyone's definitely been toxic to someone at some point. But I suppose that this is focusing on the people that maybe don't realize they're in a sort of toxic friendship.
Yes, 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 yes.
And kind of are listening to these going, I mean, we've become obsessed with ourselves during this record. But actually, is for people who are like, oh God, my friend does that. I always leave feeling, I always leave feeling a little bit more down, more anxious, more stressed than I was when I arrived.
Yeah.
And they never seem to help me with anything. And, you know, I feel like I have to be like the funniest or be the most interesting version of myself rather than like just myself. And I think that's, rather than being concerned that we're toxic friends, which we definitely will be and have been to some people.
So we'll work on doing the getting off the things that are on your list and getting rid of them. And then if I'm on anyone's list, please do tell me and we'll... She's very sorry.
Ditto for me.
And I'm going to really try and work on that. So give it to me. More on this. Let's see.
No,
what
I'll just do the last
next.
One.
Yeah.
Which is sort of what we spoke about is that... you feel stressed with them.
Yeah.
And that's quite a umbrella term, but I think it's a good barometer. Like if you are slightly stressed about meeting them, if you're stressed about, like if you feel like you have to be on form when you're meeting them, you know, like some of those days where you're like, I am on fire. Someone please invite me to a social engagement because I will set this place alight. but sometimes you're like, I don't feel great, but it's okay because it's my friend, so I don't have to be. And they'll like boost me up.
I don't have to wear any makeup and I can keep my, you know, hair in this bonnet.
Of course. And they'll be like,
well, my hair's in
nice
an ugly
bonnet,
bun.
Champ.
Yeah, my hair's in an ugly bun. But
yes.
I'm and like really flat to your head. When you go and see someone, if you like don't even think to put on makeup or whatever, that's a sign
of
just like you're
them.
Really, you know, a person that you're just excited to see for who they are.
Yeah. Or like one of my best friends, Maddie. Hello, Maddie. She genuinely doesn't listen. I know she's my best friend because I never really organise. We don't really like organise stuff. It'll just be like, do you want to come round? And then we'll just sit and we'll be like something on and we'll just watch something for like 4 hours and we'll eat crisps. And you're like, there's not this sense of like, well, we should probably go to this bar afterwards and
we
don't have to impress her. Like, sorry, my room's a tip. Sorry. Like, it's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which I think you want to aim for. Not all friendships are like that. Certainly not in my life, but there are certain friendships that I think leave you stressed and you should never have a friend... A regular friend that you see all the time who is consistently making you feel stressed because that's just, life is too short. And then you'll wake up and be like, should have got better friends.
Should have got better friends.
Yeah, I'm spending all my time with this person.
I think that's, my...
Thoughts?
Well, I was going to say my very good friend Lucy, who doesn't listen either.
Are we each other's only friends?
Yeah, I guess so. We're the only one who listens because we're here at the time.
I suppose all our friends like, we don't need to listen to Stephen Tessa talk.
Tell their stories that I was there for, I know. you're boring enough at the social engagements I have to see you at. Something I really value in our relationship is that like, there'll be any sort of discussion or exchange of frank disagreement of ideas. We're very different people. And we've repeatedly said how much we hate each other's fashion taste.
Great.
She wears these sort of like orthopedic clogs.
Lucy's very fashionable.
Yeah, I think she looks astonishing. We're very, very different people. And I really enjoy that she's extremely self-aware.
Mm.
And then she's very quick to be like, should we address this tension? Should we address this?
That's very good.
Or quick to be like, I'm very sorry about when I shouted just then. You know, like she's...
Yes.
comes from a whole family of sisters that are quick to express their emotions, and I really, you know, and yeah, that's great. Because nice. I think if you ever didn't do that, people just sort of swallow the feelings all the time.
Yeah, and then it comes out in odd ways.
And then
ways.
It explodes out of you at a much later date.
Like the alien in Alien.
Exactly like that. And that's what happens if you just keep swallowing the pebbles of tension in a room of people, you know.
Then you have a rock alien in your body. Yeah. And also then you'll start doing that thing where you like resent people or... It just grows and builds and builds and builds and nothing is ever dispelled. I think you should constantly work to dispel tension in all areas of your life.
Yes.
And communication. Oh my God, communication. Guys,
you must be honest.
You must be honest. Right. Do you want to know how to get rid of a toxic relationship?
Yes, please.
Okay. I've done some Googling. Some of these things, I've got some things to say about, and I'm sure you will too, because I don't agree with some of them.
Great.
Are you crying?
It's been a big day.
She's crying because she's scared that everyone's going to start taking this advice and doing it on her.
Yeah, right? I don't have anyone left.
So you basically have to decide which route is best. Setting boundaries for your friendship, the phase out, or formally ending it. We'll get to the third one, which I've got a lot of things to say. It's mainly one sentence.
It's one word.
So don't do that. So you should set... I've ruined it now. I know. It's mushed together in one word.
Oh, I see. Like
so setting
hashtag.
Boundaries is if you have a friend and you're like, yes, she doesn't make me feel stressed. I do feel like this. And she does do this, she does do this. But it's focused around one thing. So if she changed that one thing, your friendship would be fine.
Yes.
So for example, let's use you as an example. If I was like, Tessa, can you please stop telling me to get more self-esteem, you asshole? You'd be like, okay, yeah, fair enough. Like, I didn't see how that would upset you. I thought you'd get more self-esteem from me shouting at you. But actually, I'd be like, well, if you change that, then you kind of approach it like that. You know how I feel. You have your own comments on that, I'm sure. We talk it out. And then it either changes or it doesn't. And if it doesn't change, then at least the person has said, well, I'd like to salvage the friend. Like, I'd like to change something. So that's useful if you can identify the problem. And maybe spend some time thinking, if you're thinking of a friend throughout this being like, oh my God, her or him. Maybe spend some time really thinking if there is a specific thing. Because you might just go, oh yeah, she's toxic or he's toxic. But actually, it might be a specific thing, and you can isolate it. That's the easiest one to deal with.
Now, that's very good.
Yeah, right. And I think I would have saved more friendships if I'd have known that. Because I do the second one, which is you should let the friendship fade slowly in death. Basically, it's ghosting. And I was saying this before. Ghosting feels like the kindest way to let a friendship go, because friendships come and go all the time, and it seems sort of valid that friendship would drift apart and you drift apart.
Yes.
However, it becomes mean when the other person clearly doesn't want to drift apart.
Yes.
You've given them the implicit option by not getting back to them on a few things, sort of not being able to make some stuff, hoping that the invitations would dry up. They don't, if anything, get more because they're like, where are you? Then you suddenly realise what you're doing and it's not very nice. Yes. And I've been in that situation before and I felt horrible about it. But I've been like, what's supposed to do? Like, write your formal letter saying, sorry, I don't find your stories about your husband interesting anymore. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's often not to do with their personality. It's to do with, they're a different life situation. You're like, well, you live in a farm in, you know, Bangkok and I live in London and we don't see you and I've got very different ideals. And sometimes a friendship is over time rather than for your whole life. What I find interesting is that ghosting is the nice thing to do, whereas in a relationship, a boyfriend or a girlfriend, ghosting is horrible and you should never do that. So it's weird how there's a difference.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
And
I don't understand.
I don't quite understand. I don't quite know where I feel morally about ghosting, but I do know that it's kind of the only way.
Well, I suspect the difference is that with a relationship, you had probably seen that person very recently.
Yeah, probably like every day of your life. Whereas in a friendship, you probably haven't.
Or even if you'd been on a date and then one date and then they ghosted you or whatever, you still saw them very recently.
Yeah.
And so that's sort of fresh in your mind, or you're literally dating somebody and therefore that morning they were literally your partner and now they are not. Whereas a friend you could have not seen for a long time and then you've just allowed that time to continue.
To eat away at your relationship.
Yes, and then you've allowed that time to carry on in the hope that it would eventually.
So that's a way of, if he's a toxic friend, just casually stop replying to so much stuff, stop going to some things, see what happens, because you may have given yourself an easy, gentle way out that both of you implicitly are following these like guidelines of, okay, we're not really we're not hanging out as much because everyone's very busy. Everyone's very got their own life. Everyone's more bothered about their own lives. So that can very easily be a thing that maybe, like, I have a friend who is very toxic and still see them, but I see them very, very irregularly at things, and they're lovely to spend an evening with, but I would never, ever, ever, like, live with them. I've sort of set my own personal boundaries that are just like, okay, I'm not going to give myself to that person. I'm not going to, like, you know, invest
that's
a lot of time.
Yeah.
But let's not be immature about this. I'm not going to make a deal out of it or be like, well, I'm not going because he's going to be there. Like, no, it's fine. You know?
You've just set your personal boundary about being like, this is how I only see this person at this time.
Yes, he's an acquaintance now. He's not in the inner circle, the inner Steve circle, which people are clamouring to get into.
Absolutely banging on the door.
It's too much for me.
I think then it's option number three. I think for this one, this has to be quite an this is quite an extreme response, and therefore has to be quite an extreme person.
Yeah, they've boned your boyfriend and your brother.
And your girlfriend.
And your girlfriend and your dad.
Oh, heavens above.
Do you know what I mean? That's too many people.
Yeah, I think it has to be real extreme. So don't just go around copy and pasting.
No, I have...
A breakup email to everyone you know. I think it's mad. I think it's mad. I don't think it should be done.
I think people who do this, so I think
they're
mad.
This one is that... This is number three, which is that you should write them a formal email.
Essentially, not even a formal email, but just like you basically tell them...
That it's over.
That it's over, that your friendship is over. And I think that's why when things like, how to dump your friends? And you're like, well, I want to dump my friends. Like, it feels like playground to be like, you're not my friend. You're not coming to my party. You're not my best friend anymore. Angela is.
Yeah, I think it's bonkers.
Yeah.
So that's why I think it like doesn't deserve this drama and this like severance. I think you can do that severance on your own.
Personally and
quietly. It doesn't
quietly.
Need...
Without telling them, because they will know if you've become very cool and cool towards them.
Yeah.
They'll either not notice because your friendship was supposed to go anyway, which means well, you don't want to be friends with them anyway if they even notice you're not seeing them anymore.
Yeah.
Or they will notice and follow suit. Mm. It's the old nod and leave. You're like, what a great time we've had. Goodbye. And both of us are aware that we don't need to have this conversation going, goodbye, because we will.
Yeah, I think if you, especially if you write something, there's no way it'll be interpreted correctly or read in the right vein, or like, and then the person can just mull over that for, you know, that'll.
It's hurt for your paper trail of hurt.
It's literally a paper trail of hurt. Like, you're purposefully sort of throwing a Molotov cocktail into the building as you leave. Like, it's an unnecessary thing to do. You can just leave that building.
Yes.
You don't have to set it on fire on your way out.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless they have done something really
of course,
dreadful.
Yes.
In which case, and then like revenge feels good and doing something.
And
you
also
know,
then if someone has done something to hurt you, then yeah, that it's not even just revenge. Then they have done a thing, you react to the thing by going, sorry, this is not something a friend would do.
Yeah.
I can't be your friend anymore.
Yeah.
And I'd appreciate some space. Thank you very
and
much.
And I think you'll feel like you would like to write several books on the subject.
Don't.
And express to them exactly how you feel with a long and lengthy prose.
Keep it succinct because you're always going to regret
that. It will not
that.
Be received in the way that it will not be received well.
No.
Like, it will feel...
And even if they've done something bad, you don't care
write
if it's
it
received
down
well.
Write it down and burn it. Like,
also,
don't,
it'll be,
don't
you
send
may
it to
write
them.
It and then like 3 days later be like, you'll read it back and
cringe
so hard.
So much at
you're
it.
Like, oh, and it's just this horrible, like, you will regret it.
They are not going to read that. Realise the awful thing they've done, run to your door, tell you they're sorry, you know, all of this stuff that you hope is going to happen.
And if, no, but also, you're kind of not hoping that, because if you are dumping
no, exactly.
a friend,
whatever you're hoping
it's
is
very,
happening.
It's very dissimilar to a relationship, because
often
with a relationship, you kind of secretly like, yeah, and then you'll change your ways. But actually, with a friend, often it's like, no, I don't want to see you anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, because we've got other friends,
yeah.
Like, that's not your only friend. You've got other people that serve the function of that friend, and yes, you'll miss them, and yes, also in the future there may be chance for reconciliation, where with a relationship there probably isn't really very often with an ex or something, but with an ex friend there always is a chance. It's never dead and gone. It's just at that moment they need to be gone. And I think keep it as succinct and unemotional as you possibly can, because it's already going to be an emotional situation. And I think probably like calling or face to face. Or like, I think like a text is not great, like, or a WhatsApp is not great. I think, because then you're like, oh, there's a blue text and they're seeing it. They're not like, just call them, I think.
Yeah. Yes, I think that's crucial. And probably call if you're going to do it. I mean, I don't know. I really don't.
And also a good tip that I've read is if you are going to say something to them because they've hurt you, make it about what you need rather than them. So don't be like, you're selfish and horrible and that's why I don't want to be your friend anymore.
Yeah.
Be like, I can't be around that. I won't be able to
yes,
do
yes,
this.
Yes, 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 a very good idea.
Because then they can't argue with that.
Yeah, this isn't a good place for me to be.
Yeah.
Right now. So then it's no sort of like, you're a terrible bitch.
Yes, exactly.
I'm feeling quite fragile and I need to be surrounded by a lot of love. I need this.
Love and light. Love and light. Peace and love.
I want to tell quite a personal tale.
Oh, great. Tell a personal tale. Maybe short discussion after the personal tale. That's fine.
Well, I'm sort of learning from my taking on board that I might be the toxic friend.
Oh, come on. Okay, fine. I'm not going to argue. No. But I also don't agree with it.
Well, it's sort of to do with me sort of hammering home the self-esteem to other people.
Yes.
Is that what I want to say at this point is like, you know, trust in yourself and listen to your instincts that tell you that like, maybe that person isn't nice. And if there's an instinct that says they're not nice, and then there's another one that says, no, they're fine. It's probably me that's doing this wrong. Mm. It's probably me that's, no, I was being overreacting. I was being irrational. Then that voice needs to be quiet, and you need to listen to the first bit that said it wasn't right. And so I wanted to sort of relay that information, but it'll just sound like the Tessica self-esteem screaming program. So I will instead sort of tell a tale.
A parable,
if you will. Like Jesus, sure. I didn't say it, you did. Okay. That is about me going through that hopefully like maybe some part of it rings true for anyone.
Yeah.
Is that several years ago, I was working on something I wanted to do, a creative project.
Mm.
Somebody wanted to do with me, and I was like, okay. And they were sort of somebody who I very much like, very much what I now know to be a toxic person,
right?
And but that I wasn't listening to any of those signs, and was like, okay. So I sort of went into it very like tentatively doing this thing, and then it wasn't good and it wasn't nice, and we were only doing it for a couple of weeks, and they really lied to me about something, and basically like gaslit me, which is this fun expression somebody sort of purposefully or otherwise makes you feel like you're the one who's gone mad, like you're the one who's insane and being stupid and being crazy about this, and it's not a big deal.
When it isn't.
It's the epitome of someone being like, I think you're having an affair, and then them being like, you are insane. Mm. And actually they are having an affair.
Yes.
And so they'd really lied to me about something. And when I'd said, I think this might be the case, they were like, you're insane for asking.
Okay.
It turned out to indeed be the case. And then when I raised that and was like, you lied to me, they said, well, you shouldn't have asked. You shouldn't have kept asking me. Like, refused to believe that like lying was a crime.
It was a human person.
Yeah, it was a human person. Like
a malfunctioning robot.
In a way that I can now see with some hindsight and some distance is like them sort of knowing they were completely in the wrong and like lashing out sort of flailing and telling me that I was wrong. But at the time, deep in it, I sort of went away for 2 days. And in those 2 days, like fully convinced myself that I was in the wrong. Like that it didn't matter that they'd done this.
You shouldn't have asked so much.
I shouldn't have asked. It's their private life. I shouldn't have asked these questions. I was in the wrong. And I really like felt myself like shrinking of being like, yes, okay, I'll just carry on with this project. I'll do it. And then met this really great girl from New Zealand, a friend of a friend who I hadn't met before. And it was so sort of at the forefront of my mind and so like on the tip of my tongue that I was like, I'm so sorry. I know we've just met. Can I tell you what's just happened? And I sort of told her the whole thing with like very little emotion or not really like naming any names. And I really thought that at the end she'd be like, well, it sounds like a good project and like it's not a big deal. And like, yeah, I think you should do it.
You basically wanted someone to back your decision. Really,
yeah, absolutely. But, yeah. Like, yeah, I didn't realize that's what I was doing, but 100% I thought that's what she was going to say at the end. And I sort of finished talking and she held me up by the shoulders and said, get yourself and your creative projects the fuck away from him.
Oh, that's amazing.
And like, honestly, it felt like everything just like fell off me and I became like 8 foot taller and like everything that I've been carrying around just like faded away.
Yeah.
And it's that sort of, and I sort of physically turned around and then walked away from her and she was like, come back. And I was like, okay, cool.
No, I'm leaving.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
I'm confused
and then
by your instructions.
Just, you know, we had like quite a reasonable phone conversation the next day and I said I wasn't doing the project and I, you know, was, but without bringing any sort of emotion into it, and I just never spoke to him ever again.
That's
and
great.
I think it's that thing that a bit like, you know, they sort of talk about at AA meetings or, you know, when people really change something about their lifestyle, like people tell this like catalyst moment when they saw something different or they realized about...
They saw a person
in the real way that they were, or they realized something about themselves, or like, you know, you sort of had this huge like life-changing moment where you fully changed everything you thought. A bit like having the wool sort of pulled away from your eyes and you're like, oh my word.
Mm.
And you really can't fight that thing. You can't force that transition. It does have to like...
Come naturally.
Yeah. Why I wanted to like say it is in case like anyone having those sort of feelings of being like, if they're with a person or with a friendship or a work colleague or a person or a family member or anybody in their life who they sort of convince themselves that you're wrong, and you start being like, oh, okay, I guess I am wrong.
I'm bad at everything.
Yeah. Like, you are wrong. I'm telling you, you're wrong.
Terrifying ending to the podcast.
You're wrong. No, I'm saying don't listen. You have to trust yourself, because you will sort of come through the woods and be like, oh no, I was right. I do have good thoughts. I am a good person. I have good ideas. Like, I didn't need to be told I was wrong all the time. The knotweed has literally got into your brain and made you think
burn that knotweed to the ground
and made you think that sort of that's all you deserve, or that's what you should, you know, that this is all okay.
And we deserve nice friends, nice people around us that make us feel like that New Zealand girl made you
feel. And so if anyone ever sort of does, if you can be that New Zealand girl for somebody else,
oh my god, don't put the accent on if you don't already have it.
If you're not from New Zealand, don't.
It's not. Yeah.
But if it makes you feel confident, I say go for it.
Go for it, just in your own time.
In your own time, privately, where no one can hear. Right. Publicly, just use your own voice. Yeah, try your best to, if you think any of the things might be you on that list, try and be nice as you can and sort of address them.
If you see something happening in your friendship groups,
and you can say, hey, she's doing this to you, or he's doing this to you, hey, I'm just flagging this up. Yeah. And sometimes that's all it needs, is someone being like, hey, I see you. I see how that person just treated you.
Yeah, and like that girl did to you.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Suddenly you've got another
person. I see you as you truly are.
A person outside of that control.
Yeah.
Often they can see the wood for the trees. You can't.
Exactly, because sometimes you're so deep in that
it's
wood.
Good.
Get yourself a woodsmith who can see the wood from the outside. So get someone in a helicopter who can see it.
Get someone in a helicopter. I don't know what a woodsmith is, but I'm into it. I feel very empowered, genuinely, by that. I'm going to start dumping my friends left, right, and centre.
No, and I'm going to try and be much, much nicer.
I'm going to dump Tessa, and Tessa's going to try and be nice. No,
please don't. No, and I'm really sorry that I...
Oh, don't be silly.
Told you to boost your self-esteem up, you arsehole.
I needed it. I was an asshole.
Thank you. You did need it.
I was. In action, people. In action. I'm not even going to tell...
I'm kidding.
No, of course.
I'm trying my very
hard. If anyone heard that and wants to give me some support, please tweet me at Stevie M. The S is a 5.
If I am your toxic friend, please tweet me so I know how I can address it. If it's anything that's ever happened to you, or you want to sort of talk about, a bit like EastEnders here, if you want to talk about any of the issues that we've discussed.
Oh my God.
Right?
We're like not doctors, so maybe don't prioritise us.
Don't prioritise
us. But we can give you some support, and also speak to other people around you to identify if your feelings are correct about this person, because guaranteed, if you relay this story to like one of your neutral non-toxic friends, they'll be like, oh my god, yeah, absolutely. Waiting for you to say that for ages. Like,
exactly.
Talk to someone else,
talk to people, get those feelings out of you, like vocalize how you feel, get those opinions out of you. Do not let them sit in your stomach.
No, bad.
Get them out,
and have a good week.
Have a great week. Look after yourself. Stay sexy.
Oh, gosh. I think Tessa expected to say that.
It's what they say at the end of my favourite murder. Stay sexy, don't get murdered.
Oh, that's good.
I know, it's fun.
We can't just have that. No.
No, look after yourself. Have a really, really nice week.
Bye, guys. Bye.